Hello and welcome to Grace Unscripted, where we share stories of people in and around Grace Church without any script, just real, raw conversations about life change through Jesus. I'm your host, Audrey Wallace, and today's guest is Jan Robinson. Now, you're going to hear completely different stories within this one story, and you're going to hear words like bitterness and rage and anger and malice, and then you're going to hear words like fortunate and gift and luckiest and blessed. And those things don't seem like they should belong together in one person's life story, which is how we know that God was deeply involved. Hello.
Hi there.
Welcome to the Unscripted Recording Room.
Thank you.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling great.
I'm so happy that you're here.
Thank you.
Well, first of all, Jan Robinson. Maybe some people know you, maybe some people don't, but give us a little bit about who you are.
Well, I've been around at Grace for a long time. We actually came up from Norton with Jeff way back when, so we've been here a long time. If you don't know me, you may know my daughter, Mandy Caruso. And if you don't know her, you probably know her husband, Joe. And then, of course, they have my beautiful Ainsley, too. I also have a son you may see around, too. It's Scott, and he's married to Alex, and they have my two beautiful granddaughters, and with another one on the way who's our first grandson. So we're pretty darn excited.
That's
so
exciting. Yeah.
So my life is full and very great.
Amazing. So if I heard that right, you've got mother-in-law to Pastor Joe, mother to Mandy, mother to Scott, and mother-in-law to Alex, all of which are here at Grace.
Yeah, we're all local.
Amazing.
Yep. So yeah.
And spending a lot of time with the grandkids, I'm guessing.
Yes, loving it. It's awesome. It's a dream, I'm telling you, it is.
Amazing. So that is a wonderful gift to have the family close by, the family all part of the same church family as well. Man, I bet that's a rare thing even for our listeners. I know it's not my family's all believers, but we don't all go to the same church.
Oh, well.
And that's probably a really special thing.
We all have different schedules, though. And so my son is a fireman, so he doesn't get around as much as probably he'd like to. Mm-hmm. But so, yeah, we do what we can. That's for sure. Yeah. So.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Excellent. So that's who you are now.
Yeah.
Ready to rewind to the beginning?
Well, I'm going to tell you where I came from.
Okay.
This past week. I had the extreme pleasure of going on a one-week retreat with a group of friends. We've been doing this for a number of years, and it's just a wonderful time of teaching at the beach, and it's absolutely fabulous. And I sit there with these people, and I look at them, and I just think, I am so blessed to even know every one of them. Mm-hmm. I even get to see Richard and Lois Fisher. So I'm sure a lot of you might not remember Dr. Fisher here. So
Dr. Fisher was on staff for quite some time, gosh, maybe even 10 years ago. It's been since he retired.
Yeah, yeah. And they're living in Georgia, but they come up each year to do the retreat with us and
wonderful stuff.
So it's wonderful catching up with them too and all the families that go. It's just such a joy.
That kind of stuff is just like the glimpses of heaven, I feel like. Like, how on earth did I get so lucky? I spent the weekend myself with a group. It's only six of us, but as adults with all of our kids. But in a weekend where it's like all these couples get along, the husbands like the husbands, the wives like the wives, the kids like the kids. Like, that is a magical gift. It's like that family you choose, you know, the friends like family.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And to say, we look forward to it. We've already booked again for next year. Mm-hmm. So, but as I sit there, I think, how did I end up here? Mm-hmm. And I think my story might explain why I said that. So,
yeah,
because I look at these people and thought, wow, it is such a privilege to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just, God had to do a whole lot in my life to get me there, to in that place in my life. So, it's, anyway.
So. What a gift. What a gift. So that rewound us to last week.
Yes.
But let's rewind
even
further back. Tell me where you grew up and what that was like.
I actually grew up in Copley.
Mm-hmm.
We had a little house. It was only 600 square foot.
Whoa.
And there were six of us. I have three older brothers and two parents. We all lived in this little house. So... yeah, and I lived there my whole life until I was married.
Same house, so like raised in the same home, 0 to 18 kind of thing?
0 to 20. Wow. I stayed until I was 20.
Okay.
It was a pretty bad place to grow up, actually.
Okay.
My father was a raging alcoholic.
Wow.
Who pretty much hated my mom and I.
Mm.
My brothers, he was better with. My mom told me later on in life that he really hated women.
Mm.
And he was, like I said, he was extremely abusive. He would get drunk at least once a week, minimum of one time a week, when he didn't have to go to work the next day.
Mm.
And he would make our lives really miserable, calling us filthy names, mm. and for hours and hours and hours on end. And there's a lot of things that I really can't even talk about.
Yeah.
Still to this point in my life, because it's just too much. So.
And that's like every memory from birth for you. Is like, Dad was like this always. It's not like something triggered when you were in kindergarten or something.
No. In fact, my mom told me when I was just a baby, he stood over the crib and just screamed at me.
Mm.
She said he hated women. And he had three sons first before me. So he did not even acknowledge me. I found out later in life. I was about 20, 21 years old, and I was working at a Goodyear bank, and my father worked as a machinist at Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company across the street.
Mm-hmm.
Well, back in the day, now this is back in the 70s, so this goes back a long time, everybody got a physical paycheck, they came over, they cashed their checks. Mm-hmm. Well, I worked in the customer service department, and I had a gentleman sit down at my desk, and I had a very unusual last name, spelled no, if you see this name, we'd have to be related, because I don't know any others in Ohio, at least, that have the same spelling of the last name. But I had a gentleman come over, and he sits down, and he gives me this funny look, and I says, could I help you? He says, your last name. He says, Hersick. And I said, yes. And he said, there can't be more people that have that spelling. You must be related to the guy I work next to. And I said, who? He said, well, who's that? He says, well, Mike Hersick. And I said, that's my father.
Mm.
And he said, I've worked by him for 25 years. He's never mentioned a daughter.
Oh, my goodness. 25 years.
Yeah. He says, I know all about your brothers.
Oh, my gosh.
So,
and he
wasn't good to them either. So don't get me wrong. He was not good to them either.
Mm.
He wasn't good to any of us, but I found that, wow, he does, which, to be honest with you, it was okay. It didn't hurt me, because people didn't know it was my father. That was fine with me, because he was not somebody I had respect for, and I'm sorry, but, and this sounds really critical, or maybe people want to judge me for it, but he was always just the old man. There was never one bit of love in him, period.
Mm.
And he was just the old man who lived in the house with us and made our lives miserable.
Mm.
So
I cannot even begin to imagine what that would feel like. Like, it feels like a movie, like you're explaining a movie plot to me, and not a real person's life.
Yeah, and even when he wasn't drinking, he was mean and nasty and just hateful. And he, you know, I mean, you got to understand, life was kind of a different time back in the... I was raised in the 60s and the 70s, but it was a different time where people didn't interfere with your lives, you know? The neighbors knew what was going on because the houses weren't that far apart, and it spilled out of the house a whole lot, too. My mom would make dinner. He'd just, for no reason, just throw it all out in the yard or throw it up against the walls. I mean, he was, I don't even know what the words are.
Mm.
And it's, yeah.
Did you know his family? Did you know his parents, his siblings? Did you have any, I'm thinking of our Breaking the Cycle series and how hurting people hurt people and all that kind of stuff.
And I really know nothing about him. His parents died before Well, I was a child. I was probably 7 or 8 years old when his dad died. His mom had died before I was born. Mm-hmm. So, no, I really don't. But I think someone told me once that, yes, he had a bad childhood.
Yeah.
So, but.
Yeah, and that cycle just increased, it sounds like, versus being a cycle breaker in his lifetime.
But, so we did what we had to do to survive, because, it was a very hard life, and I had no hope. Mm-hmm. I was not a kid who ever dreamed about anything, because the only thing you could dream about is getting out of there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it wasn't like I sat there and dreamed that, you know, I'm going to get married someday, I'm going to have a family. I didn't know how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but my mom, let me talk about her just a minute, though, because I don't want to give anybody the wrong impression about her. My mom was wonderful, but she was just powerless against him. He was a brute, and he was a bully, and he lived to make her life miserable.
Mm.
She told me once that she tried taking my brothers to church when they were young, and he made her life so much worse that she just quit. And she says she just couldn't do it again.
Wow.
So
that wasn't part of your home, or having understanding? Maybe would you have known the name of Jesus?
No, I didn't. In fact, you know, it was one of those things back then. I couldn't believe there was a God, because why would I be there?
Yeah. Well, that is the classic question. How could a loving God?
Yeah.
If anyone tried to explain, well, you're his daughter, that would be some real quick questions.
Yeah. But it's really interesting, though, because I had a neighbor next door. And they were wonderful. They were more of a family to me than I had at home. And that really hurt my mom, too, I think, because I could go there and I could talk. And not talk about what was going on in the house, but I could feel like I lived a more normal life. And they kept their doors open 24 hours a day.
Did they have kids as well?
Yeah. In fact, they had a daughter that was about 3 years younger than me. And they kept their door open, and I could come in any time, day or night.
Mm.
At 2 o'clock in the morning, sometimes I'd come in and go up to her room and
find a safe space.
Yeah. And I found out later, many years later, and after the dad was gone even, that he had told the family, he said he better never come over here for her because he's never getting to her.
Mm. What a protector.
So he protected me. That's one of the people God put there to protect me.
Mm-hmm. They had that entire space that he gave you as refuge and a shield, which is his promise for us. And that's his way of using people. Were they believers? Was that family?
No, I don't believe they were. They didn't go to church either, but they were the kindest, most loving people that I ever knew.
Mm-hmm.
And they let anybody come in. It wasn't even just me. It was, anybody that door was open. But I was one of their kids, they tell me, and I went to all their family reunions, and we didn't do vacation things, but per se, but I just remember being able to get away with them from time to time, because I was always looking to get away.
Yeah.
So, and they took every advantage they could to take me
too.
So they were wonderful. Mm-hmm. So I still thank God for Jay.
Yeah.
That he put these people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So any core family memories, any of those staples of a childhood, as we're listening to this story, we're thinking, oh, but surely like a family meal or a holiday or a birthday or something.
No, we didn't eat any meals together because I got beat more than once because I wouldn't finish eating something.
Mm-hmm. And that was just your reality. So maybe anything that you could do to escape that, or people trying to protect, avoid those scenarios.
Yeah, and it's really interesting, too, because I actually think more of our neighborhood knew, too, because there was another family member that lived up the street, and they had horses. And they'd always, they had, somebody else on the street had horses, and they let me borrow their horse anytime, and I'd go riding with them. And, I mean, so I do have some good childhood memories. And, you know, I remember being a kid and riding off on a horse. You know, those are great childhood memories.
Just running free. That's the opposite of everything else you experienced in your home.
And I was, I grew up in that neighborhood where you could, you left the house in the morning and you came back when it was dark. You know, we, everybody knew everybody on the street, everybody's kids, you could play in their yards and stuff. And so I didn't spend any more time in the house than I had to. So that was kind of the reality. And the neighbors knew what was going on. And like I said, I think they were all pretty good. They were good to me. So that's what I mean. I think God put even more neighbors in there, too, that were really, you know, looking out for us.
So then you're going to school, so you have that as time away, but that's probably also very hard because you're covering up your sadness, you're covering up maybe wounds, you're covering up what's...
Well, and there would be times I'd go to school because he would stand just inches away from you and scream at you, call my mom and I every dirty, filthy, disgusting name that you can't even imagine.
The words used in a child, for a child.
And there were some nights there was no sleep. And you got up and you just went on to school.
Wow. I'm so sorry.
Well, and as you can imagine, when my brothers got older, they got out of there. I mean, I don't blame them. My oldest brother got married right out of high school, like a month out of high school. He got married, and he was married for over 45 years, so it worked. And he raised a good family, too. And then I and my other two brothers, when they went off to college, they went off to college. And one didn't come back, but one did for a short time until he moved out again. So, but I was afraid to move out. Because I saw the violence, and I really, my mom and I, when it was just my mom and I there, she and I would go in the attic, and we had a mattress that we'd lay over the door, and we'd lay on it. He'd still stand right between us and that door and screaming and stuff, but he'd get so mad sometimes that I actually truly think he went crazy because he did things that could have killed us. And he'd even say that, if I can't get to you, I'm going to kill you. And he tried lighting the couch on fire because he was going to burn the house down. But it didn't burn.
Seems impossible, doesn't it?
Yes, it was impossible that it didn't. But God watched out. I can see that now. I had no hope.
Yeah, and your closest brother is how many years older than you?
The closest one is only 14 months ahead of me. But so.
In thinking about when they would have left, I was wondering if there was a large gap where now you and your mom are left.
No, he was just... And then my older ones, I say the two oldest ones are 10 years apart. They're like 9 and 11, so I just say they're both 10 years apart. But so they'd been gone a long time, but they knew what was going on. And my oldest brother, I have to say, and he was more of a father to me than I ever had. I called him all the time. I feel bad. His wife must have thought I was the biggest pain. But he always had time. And he still does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and so I'm very fortunate. Mm-hmm. I really am, to still have him in my life, you know. And we talk a lot and stuff. And so, yeah.
Yeah, he's going to understand things differently than anybody else.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're all of your siblings, I imagine.
But it's really interesting. I just recently, the one brother that's the closest in age to me, we did some talking. We had spent quite a bit of time together, because we lost our second brother. We've been doing a lot of driving in the car together to Florida, and talking to him, and that was another reason I decided to do the podcast too, is because he didn't even know the story. Mm. You know, he got out, you know, when he was 17, 18, mm-hmm. and he went to college, and, you know, I don't begrudge him at all, mm-hmm. you know, not at all. But he didn't know some of the stories and the things that had gone on after he left and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I didn't realize that.
It's interesting how siblings can have pretty different life experiences in the same home.
Yeah, in a tiny little house.
For sure. And in some ways, the gender, in some ways, the state or the where they fall in the birth order and whatever other kind of weird things are happening, or just an awareness, or when they left home, things like that. But I see that time and time again, and believe that people can have different experiences even in the same space like that.
Yeah.
For you, and then you said that you were there until you were 20, so you...
Yeah, I stayed until I got married at 20, mm-hmm. and boy, when I met Rob, and it was unbelievable. I met him, and I knew the first time I went out with him, this is the nicest person I've ever met.
Mm.
And I knew he would treat me well the rest of my life.
Mm.
And 46 years later, he's never wavered, which is absolutely amazing.
Such a gift.
So I have been given a real gift, you know. And the fact that God brought him into I was a bank teller at the time, into my drive-in window one day.
Really?
Yes.
A drive-in window is how you met.
I did. We met at my drive-in window.
Okay. And you don't really establish a long-term relationship typically, so I'm curious to hear more.
He was coming in more than the average customer was, to be honest with you.
He had an
eye. Yeah. Yeah. So, in fact, he asked me out, and I really wasn't interested because I was young and shallow and had a boyfriend, and you know, and then I finally agreed to go out with him about a year later.
Wow.
He's still waiting for me, which is a pretty amazing. And, I met him that first date, and the first date turned into an all-day date. He had a boat, and we talked and talked and talked, and I just knew. And I thank God, you know, I didn't even know if I thought there was a God. But boy, it was like, wow, this is the guy.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it. Mm-hmm. So, and I tell everybody I'm the luckiest person in the world. I really do have the best husband in the world. Mm-hmm. So, so that's what I'm saying. He's always been there for me. I mean, yeah.
Well, and it sounds like he broke molds for you, because when we think about the breaking the cycle that I mentioned, typically the basis for normal is abuse, and it is low, like a lower than status, and all these things that you were put in the world to believe or made to believe through your childhood. And thinking of, I'm sure you had television shows and movies and Disney princesses to look to try to create some form of like what to hope for in a man, not just your father or maybe friends' homes or the neighbors and things like that, but for this knight in shining armor to come and be the kindest person that you'd ever met.
Yeah.
What a gift.
Yeah. Yeah. And it didn't hurt that he was a policeman too.
No way. So, so a real protector.
A real protector.
Wow. So, and if he chose that profession, that said a lot about his heart and his, you know, preferences. Yeah. And
well, and it's funny though, because we could not have grown up in two more different homes. Mm-hmm. He had a wonderful set of parents. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, he, you know, they had a wonderful relationship and stuff. So,
yeah. And did he grow up in a Christian home?
They went to church.
Okay.
But he didn't know anything about salvation and knowing the Lord either, but they did go to church, but that's mm-hmm. all he said it was. We just went to church.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it was actually me and the change in me that brought Rob to know the Lord too, because he's like, wow, if God could change you. You know, and I don't, that sounds like I'm saying something bad, but he saw such a different heart change.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, when did that happen?
Well, that story, I was kind of a bitter person for a long time, and I wasn't ready to give up on kind of the anger.
Yeah.
Although my father died when I married Rob at 20. My father died at 23.
Okay.
Dropped over dead of a heart attack. And this sounds really sad, but there was never a tear that was shed. Mm. It was a relief. Mm. My mom could finally now be at peace.
Wow.
I didn't have to worry about her anymore.
Yeah.
She lived close enough to me that, you know, we could, you know, still see her plenty when we need to and stuff. She went on to have a number of really good years. She had a friend lady she worked with who lost her husband, and they did the bus senior citizen bus trips together, because she never went on a vacation, never did anything her whole marriage or anything. So this was some really great time. And then she was free to enjoy my kids, which were her grandchildren, because she had some older grandchildren. But with all that tension and horrible going on in the house, you really can't have that relationship even that you'd want with those grandchildren. Mm-hmm. So my kids were the first ones she could really enjoy. And they loved their grandma. Oh, my gosh, my kids loved their grandma. And they spent time with her. But then Rob and I went on, and we had Mandy, and then about a year and a half later we had another son who died. He died at his babysitter's house at 3 months.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it was at the time, it was on his death certificate, it says SIDS. But after he died, I actually went to work at the SIDS Foundation for 7 years.
Wow.
And because I wanted to talk to other people who'd survived it, because it about destroyed me.
Wow.
And I got to know some other parents and stuff. And I actually ended up leading a support group for parents of infant death under 2 year old at Children's mm-hmm. Hospital asked us to do and stuff. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I did that. And, but I still, you know, but then this is another thing. Rob and I had bought a house, and who are our neighbor but Peg and Rick Perrin? And if you know Peg and Rick, they're the most wonderful family that you could ever know.
Mm-hmm.
Their daughter is Ezra's. I mean, married to Ezra.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a wonderful daughter, Brooke, who was my daughter's best friend growing up. And so they, you know, I could not have asked for nicer neighbors. Well, they invited Mandy to go to what at that time was Vacation Bible School. Mm-hmm. And Mandy was always just a very outgoing, self-assured kid. And but yet when we went to the closing program at the Bible school, I saw her, and she didn't know. You know, I could tell that she wasn't comfortable, because this was all new to her. And for all those years growing up, I always heard people talk about church or God and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And and knew that this was something I knew nothing about. So I went, I decided that, you know what, these are some wonderful people, Peg and Rick. They were attending at the Fairlawn Grace Brethren at the time. Mm-hmm. I went up there, and I went 1 week, and I didn't let anybody know. I went by myself, and I went and sat in the back of the church, because it just kind of slipped in, and I just kind of wanted to hear. I sit in the back of the church, and I'm listening to the pastor, and he's talking about in Ephesians 5, I think it is getting rid of all bitterness, anger, slander, brawl. Well, that's what I couldn't handle hearing. Wow. I got up and I walked out, and I was so angry because it's like, my first time I walk into church and I hear this. Well, I had it all. Mm-hmm. And
that's like all you could have. Like, let me have this. I would imagine there's like a righteous, like, I'm clinging to this is my own form of a Band-Aid to try to cover up everything else. You can't get to the root of that.
Yeah.
It's too deep and it's too painful.
Yeah.
So you just covered it with those feelings.
Right.
And called it a box that is on a shelf.
But I was fully functioning. Mm-hmm. I mean, I worked, I took, you know, I'm because of all that training as a child, no matter what's going on, you get up, you just keep walking forward. Mm-hmm. When my son died, he died on a Tuesday. We had his funeral on a Thursday. And I went back to work on a Monday.
Oh, my goodness, Jan.
You have to keep moving forward.
Yeah, if you look for a moment, take a breath, look back, it's too much. You have to power ahead.
So, but I was dead inside. So, okay. Now I've done a little rabbit trail there, so sorry about that. But when I left the church that day, I called the pastor up. You know, he doesn't know me from anybody. Mm. And I called him up, and I says, I want to talk to you. And I went in there, and I got in his face, and I got pretty ugly. And I said, who are you to tell me that I need to, you know? And I just let him have it. Well, and I just kind of, it just kind of spewed out of me. Well, he looks at me, and he said, you have every right to be angry. Mm-hmm. You know, and I talked to him for a while, and you know what? He diffused me completely, which is, you know, like, wow, okay. Mm-hmm. You're not going to tell me that I'm crazy. Mm-hmm. But no, he, you know, being diffused like that, I was willing to listen to talk to him. And he says, but when you're ready, you know, I know what could help you, and I know who could help you. So, another funny story is when I'm telling Jeff my story years ago, we were coming back on a retreat, and I told him my childhood growing up and stuff, and then I told him, and how I came to know the Lord, and how I went into this pastor's office and yelled at him. And you know what he told me? He said, oh, I wish that had been me. He said, I would love, you know, that some would, that I could have that opportunity, you know. So it didn't, because I was really kind of ashamed of it later, because I felt really bad. He says, no. You were listening. You were, you know. So.
Right. You let it get to that depth. Most people would have thrown up a wall well before that.
Yeah.
Or not ever gone to the pastor and just walked away and said, forget that.
Yeah.
You stepped into it.
Yeah. So, like I said, so it wasn't long after that and that I did pray to accept the Lord. And I was... Up until that point, I was really struggling after going to the church, talking to the pastor. I was really struggling with, I had all these feelings of reliving what I had lived in that house mm-hmm. and heard for all those nights and everything. And it was really bad. I mean, to the point where the first time in my life, I don't know what to do. I can't keep going forward. I was really afraid I was going to have some kind of a breakdown at that point, because I've got this man telling me about God, and well, I can look back, but yet I'm reliving all of this. I don't think Satan was given up so easy. Mm-hmm. And so finally, at one point, I was alone in the house. And I turn on the radio, and it's so weird, but I'd seen a bumper sticker on somebody's car for a Christian radio station. Mm-hmm. And I'm just trying to be calmed down, and I'm trying everything. And Rob had actually taken the kids and gone somewhere mm-hmm. because he says, I'm going to give you some time, mm-hmm. you know, because he could see that things weren't good. And some song came on the radio. And boy, I wish I'd know what that song was. But it says, basically, when you are at the end of you, God is there. Mm. And he wants you. And you just have to ask him. And I prayed at that time. And I had peace.
Wow.
Never again have I relived any of those.
Are you serious?
Experiences my child, from hearing all that again and again and again.
Peace really came and stayed.
Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. It really, truly is the peace that passes all understanding.
That is 100% passes understanding.
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
Yeah, because I instantly was calm. Those voices in my head, or whatever you call them, where I was reliving all of that,
mm-hmm.
they were gone. So, you know, and then, like I said, living by the wonderful neighbors that I do, they had a Bible study in their home for a number of years. We went there, and Rob, you know, he's like, wow. Rob really saw the difference in me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he said, wow. And I knew, you know, we got to get our kids, mm-hmm. you know, to understand this because, and so we immediately started the kids, you mm-hmm. know, and, yeah.
Well, and I'm thinking of Rick's story because Rick Perrin has been interviewed on Unscripted, and I'm seeing, so his emphasis of his family and his kids and his neighborhood, it's kind of making sense if you're listening to this. Cue up his episode next, and you'll really hear. He's also speaks of the beach week experience retreats as well.
Well, and we've vacationed with them, oh my gosh, going back 30 years.
Wow. So when the kids were little.
When the kids were little, we started vacationing mm-hmm. together. Every mm-hmm. spring break, we took vacations together mm-hmm. and stuff. So our families were always together and mm-hmm. stuff. And like I said, God put me in the best neighborhood with the best neighbors. mm-hmm. I just feel like I owe them so much, and I'm so thankful for them.
To be those neighbors. I mean, side note, but like thinking of that for mm-hmm. us who are believers in this body of people who might be listening to, like,
you
be
don't
those
know.
Neighbors.
Yeah, you just don't know what that person next door's story is.
Yeah.
Or four doors down. So
Sure. Oh, absolutely. So, just keep inviting, keep through the kids, through the whatever venue you can get to that right of relationship, and it can make a world of difference for someone.
Yeah, and then we ended up going to Norton Grace and met Jeff when he was brand new, went to his parents' class for all the years he did it when we were there, and then mm-hmm. we followed him up here. So.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think I'm one of the most blessed people in the world.
Which you really said, do. Okay, you have now said the words, let me look here, I wrote them down because they were shocking me as you were saying them. You said fortunate.
Oh.
You said this is a gift. You said luckiest. And now I'm adding the word blessed.
Yeah.
And based on everything you've shared, those four words do not seem like words that someone would explain their life. And fortunate, gift, luckiest, blessed, like that's for you to be able to look on your life and say,
oh
those
my
words.
Gosh, I sit here now and think, oh my, you know, I just can't believe. And that's why I sit in this room and on this retreat that I just came from, Dr. Fisher does communion for us. Mm-hmm. And I just sat there and I think, God, this is all you mm-hmm. that brought me to here, mm-hmm. to have this incredible, wonderful time mm-hmm. and given me these people to love and to spend this time with. And it's just incredible mm-hmm. that what God has done. And I mean, giving me my kids. I mean, Jeff said it. You should have, he told me the day when I told him my story, you should have the most screwed up kids. Mm. He says, but Mandy's your daughter.
So you're the cycle breaker.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. You think about the questions I asked about your dad, and then we look at you and I mean, it's the power of God that breaks the cycle, but you yes. have to be a willing participant. You have to step into it. I'm just like picturing you tiptoeing into the back row of that church service that day with fire in your spirit, and you could have gone one of two directions.
Yeah.
You could have walked away with deeper anger and resentment.
Yeah.
And you, in a way, you took that, and like you've mentioned, there is an enemy. Yeah. That would have wanted to feed that.
Yes.
And he fed that for you walking right into that pastor's office, but him, his response, you used the word diffuse.
Yes, he did. And he told me I had every right to feel that way. And that, I think that is everything I needed to hear because it's the only thing I could feel. Mm-hmm. So, but then, yeah. Then having other people, that pastor and other people pointing mm-hmm. me to where that help would be from mm-hmm. and that, you know, and learning and, mm-hmm. It's been a great ride. I can just say that
yeah.
With a lot of wonderful people. And I've got friends like I never imagined before. Mm-hmm. I never knew this deep of relationships mm-hmm. and, you know, I've got, you know, friends from way back and, you know, that I met when I was a new believer, and yeah. we're still great friends. Regina Amon's one mm. of them, you know. And then I got to meet and get to know Tracy McFall, mm-hmm. and we just became fast friends because yeah. we had a lot of stories in
that
common.
Family you choose, like yeah. we were talking about for yeah. sure.
So, and I mean, and then my kids, oh my gosh, I have such a rich life with them.
Yeah.
Too. It's unreal. I didn't know any of this. I never saw any of it. And it's not easy to know how to put a house and a family together if you haven't lived it. Mm-hmm. So I had other people that I could see mm-hmm. and who did model things for me, because you don't instinctively know things. You know how to screw up things mm-hmm. by, you know.
What was modeled for you and what you yeah, experienced.
Exactly.
And even, yes, your marriage that you said yeah. 46 years
yeah.
and
yeah.
counting.
Yeah.
And just thinking through how you were able to sustain, like I would have reflected, but Jeff would have thought like, well, that's going to be hard especially two different upbringings, you know, that's really hard to meld
yeah.
together.
We were against all odds. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, because I mean, my brothers were kidding me. He said, you had to be pulling a dump truck full of baggage when you married Rob, you know? So, and it was true.
Yeah. Well,
I probably was pulling the dump truck.
Yeah. The grace of God to, for you to like, not relive those moments any longer. Like
yeah.
how much pain did that save you from as you were able to release that and truly forgive and live in
yeah.
that forgiveness, even if you weren't able to process that with your dad or,
no.
you know,
no.
those things didn't get to happen, but we can still have healing as we talk to God.
Oh yeah. I did forgive him though mm-hmm. too, because, you know, I'll never understand, you know, what made him like that.
Mm-hmm.
But to not forgive him, it's only going to make me miserable.
For sure.
You know, and the sad thing is, I look back, and he lived to be 67. I don't think he ever had any happy years. Mm. He was a miserable human being. Mm. So I have pain in my heart for that.
Yeah.
To think that, you know, at least after he died, I saw my mom have good years. Mm-hmm. After that, mm-hmm. For the rest of her life. But yeah, and she was a great mom. I mean, in spite of all she had to go through, she never wavered as a mom. Mm. And you know, and she loved us kids and grandkids till the day she died. So,
she modeled that for you then, which is another gift that you're able to see through the pain is that she taught you how to do that for your children.
We you know, she wasn't somebody who said it, but we knew it. Mm-hmm. We knew she loved us, you know. We didn't, so it's okay if she didn't. See, she wasn't that kind of person who would say those things, but we knew. There's no question, period. Mm-hmm. And the grandkids even more. So, because she,
Wow.
Yeah. So, like I said, as I sit here, Audrey, and I tell you this awful story, I'm one of the most blessed people in the world. I really am.
Well, you're able to see what life could be, what life literally was, and the absolute 180 difference.
Yeah. And if I could say one thing, is I want to give anybody who might be in a difficult situation, there is hope. Even if you don't see it in the moment when you're sitting there, there is hope. Don't give up.
Mm.
That was the thing. I couldn't give up, and I wanted to give up.
Yeah.
But I couldn't hurt my mom.
Mm.
So don't give up.
Mm.
So get the help you need, and do what you need to do.
Mm-hmm. I think your words were at that church. They said, "There is somebody who can heal you," and that's Jesus.
Yes, absolutely. You know, and it's funny because my favorite verse now is it's Ephesians 3:23, and it. I'm going to paraphrase it because I like two different versions of it.
Okay.
But the God is the God is exceedingly abundantly more than we ever hope or imagine. Mm-hmm. And as I look at my life, it really is that. Mm. It is exceedingly abundantly more than I could ever imagine.
Because you said as a little girl, you didn't dream of a future as a wife or a mom or a household. Because you couldn't have hoped or imagined for anything.
Yeah.
And he far surpassed things you couldn't even. I feel like when you have that closeness, like I can't even have murmured this prayer, but he so deeply knows the depths of our hearts and our desires that he materializes it. And it's almost after the fact, like, yes, had I prayed.
Yeah.
This is what I would have wanted. Thank you, God, for knowing me and for knowing the desires of my heart and bringing that forth in a way that I never would have hoped or imagined how to hope or imagine. Like, there's so much depth to that statement.
Yeah. And it's really interesting to me. When we were on this trip, we all watched Jeff on Sunday morning, and I listened to his message, and I got a lot of information. It really helped me a lot for planning for today. And I just, after listening to him, I wrote down a couple things. And he said, after that service, he said, "I got faith, and I got nothing else." And that just really resonated with me. I choose to believe Jesus is God, and he loves me. And I'm choosing to trust him. So that really, really jumped out at me. And then after I was writing down some things after that too. And I just wrote down from father to father. And that's my story. From the worst of the earthly fathers. In my mind, to the most unimaginable heavenly Father who loves me beyond anything I can imagine. Mm-hmm. So,
and how you can look at that Heavenly Father without the barrier of the earthly one. And I'm yes. sure that's taken a lot of time and healing and really the Holy Spirit to cleanse
yeah.
and to make new your mind
yeah.
and make new the clean as snow, forgiveness and mercy and grace that we all need in some form. And
yeah.
To see the world and see your Father, see your relationships through that lens.
Yeah.
Instead of through the pain, which can make it all muddy and blurry and,
yeah.
and gross. Yeah.
But grab a hold mm-hmm. of that Heavenly
Literally
Father.
Literally cling. Cling is sometimes, right? Like yeah. you have to hold on tight
yeah.
because there are.
And he's right there.
Yeah.
For us.
Yeah.
Every single time.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm. Well, Jan, I know that was not easy, so I thank you. And I heard you say, like, if there's something you could share, it's to give hope to people who might be struggling. So,
yeah.
listen, I mean, Jan's story is deep and dark and hard. It doesn't even have to be that hard
right.
for it to be
right.
pain. So I encourage anybody listening that is experiencing abuse in any form, verbal or physical or relational, whatever that may be, or just that kind of depth of sadness that can come from relational experiences. One, just know there's hope, like Jan said. And two, there are people
right.
who can help talk through that, process through that. And Jan is one of them. She's a wonderful counselor here, you know, with our Grace family, that she would be willing to talk with you. You can reach out to us at Grace. We also have, of course, all of our staff, myself. Our email address that you can reach us is unscripted@graceohio.org. So if you reach out to us through that, we can get you connected to Jan or anybody really here at the church in order to help you find that hope if you're feeling like, yeah, but except for me, except from, you don't know my story.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and everybody's got a story.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And our own pain.
They really do.
Our own worst
yes.
pain is our own worst pain.
That's absolutely the truth.
Absolutely.
It really is.
So we want to be here for you. So we encourage you to reach out to us and seek that hope yourself. And Jan, I do want to give you space also to share a song. I'm curious to know what it is based on that message of hope that you want to share. But for our listeners, Unscripted also has a worship playlist because I love to hear what the Lord gives people in their heart for a worship song that helps to either reflect their story or maybe it was given to them in a moment of pain that turned into joy, whatever that may be. Jan, what song would you like to add to the Unscripted worship playlist?
Actually, it's from 2 weeks ago
mm.
that the worship band played, and it's What Kind of Father.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Tell us more about that, if there's a lyric or a, like you said 2 weeks ago, you heard it, like, what does that mean for you?
Oh, wow. I wish I could remember all the words.
Mm-hmm.
I really can't remember all the words, but all I remember is sitting there, closing my eyes, and just that music resonated in my heart so deeply. So I'm sorry I can't remember all the words.
Oh, I mean, I can think of, I know if there's Pursuit. Hey, you would run to me.
Yes. What
you
kind
would
of
take
father
me
would run.
As I am.
Yes.
Thinking through those ways and just the adoration that
yes.
draws forth of,
yes.
And that's what worship is. It's looking to him and showing, just adoring him for who he is.
Yeah.
This perfect Heavenly Father that you can look at and know, you know, you don't see him, you don't feel like a physical hug from him, but
yeah.
those pieces that he gives us is even deeper and better than that.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, I sat there and it just penetrated just
mm.
right into my heart when I heard it. And I thought, oh, that's easy.
Because mm-hmm.
I listen to worship music all the time, but this one just really just,
mm-hmm.
oh, it was me that day, absolutely.
Well, that's
and it is many,
moment.
Many days.
Yes. So. Perfect moment, perfect addition. That is, you are the first to add that one, and
oh,
I'm glad that you did. So.
Oh, good.
So again, if you want to find our worship playlist, it is Unscripted Worship on Spotify. So type in that combo, you'll see it there. And we've got quite a great list growing. So
that's
If you're listening to this and you want to have that kind of moment, you know, Jan shared about that where she, her family left home and she was able to be still and to seek the Lord. And a lot of times that can happen through worship songs, which guess what? Are just Bible verses in a different kind of...
Exactly.
You know, when you really start to study them or you're reading the Psalms, you're like, wait a minute, this is all the lyrics to the best songs I know.
Yep.
Like, that
sure
is scripture. To song, and that's a wonderful way to feed our souls when they're feeling down. So, great way to find hope.
Well, thank you, Audrey, for having me.
Jan, this, again, not an easy thing to share, and I know that you felt God ask you to do this.
Yes.
So I thank you for honoring that, even though it was hard for all the thought that you put into it. I hope it's been therapeutic for you as well, and again, for anybody who's listening, that it might provide some hope and shine some light into other dark spaces.
I really hope so.
Thank you.
All right.